Welcome back to the Ramblings of a Designer. We are a weekly podcast. We talk about the latest news about design around the web and much, much more. Aloha, everybody. My name is Terry, and I am a UX UI designer from the Bay Area. And basically what I like to do is I like to create end-to-end flows with various digital projects. Anyways, I'm here with Adam, and technically he is the main host of this podcast. So Adam, take it away.
Well, I would say we're co-hosts. But my name's Adam. I'm a visual designer out of the Bay Area. I specialize in visual design and UI design. And yeah, that's me.
All right. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Adam. How was your week, Adam?
My week was terrible. No, ultimately, I kind of wanted to bring up this point, kind of this little story, because I had a question for the audience. But so over the weekend, just as a disclaimer, everyone's fine. But we had a little ER issue on Saturday. We had to go to the ER. Our little one had problems, I guess, breathing, and apparently he had like an asthmatic event. It was fine. Everything was okay. He wasn't really in any too grave of situation. Overall, everything was great. But I realized that I had. Once we got home and we're all settled and we're all kind of going through our motions on Sunday, I realized that I had some work to do still for a client. I realized that I was in no condition to do anything. I didn't want to do anything. I was like so just drained from the past day, you know, we're like spending overnight. And so I kind of wanted just to ask the audience, like, have you ever had a situation where just personal matters got in the way of your work? And how did you deal with that with the client? Have you ever missed a deadline because like a kid or a family member or car issues? And then how did you deal with that? Did you explain to the client, oh, my kid was sick? Or does that even work as an excuse in a professional setting? You know, so that's something that I kind of wanted to find out. What about you, Terry? What do you think about that?
Oh, wow. That's, I've lived a couple of those actually, twice. Episode, you know, my family and stuff that happened. For me, if I'm working, it puts me in a calmer state that basically I don't worry. And basically my mind doesn't go in like, oh my God, is a person going to die? Or this is the last I'm going to see of this person. So for me, doing the work helps me focus, but that's just me because everybody deals it differently, you know?
Yeah, that's an interesting take on it, where it actually helps you keep your mind away from any, it just keeps your mind busy. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, ultimately it ended up where I ended up doing it like half of it today, half it this morning. I had today off anyways, but we totally missed because we had weekend plans. And those all got shot. So I just ended up having all day to day way to work on it. So ultimately ended up working out.
Well, good. See, always a happy ending. And those are the best kind of stories that they have a happy ending.
Yeah. Very fortunate. Yeah. How about your weekend? How was that?
It's going good. I'm still trying to learn JavaScript. I'm still fighting with the code. The code is fighting with me back. But I did finish the article, so that would be published out soon. Just trying to understand what JavaScript is and how it works and where do you put it in the console and why do you have it. And, you know, I understand that it makes the HTML, you know, web pages move and functionality, but in ways like, where does that happen? Like, I'm just kind of like missing the pieces to that. So hopefully I can jump on a call with my mentor and really trying to get that, narrow it down, because she's been great. She's been explaining to me, well, it's kind of like if you're going shopping and then you pick out different data just from like the name or the age or something, and you just make it do something. But in my head, it's like, what does that mean? I can't picture it, or I can't visualize it, like what she's trying to say. So maybe I need to take a step back and like, okay, so what is really JavaScript, or what does it mean? Or basically, how could it, in theory, I know what it does, right? But just to see it in code and to do it, it's like of an outer body experience that I don't quite understand yet. It's like I'm watching of a sci-fi movie. I know that sounds silly and kind of lame, but that's just how I kind of feel right now. So once I can merge not being in a science fiction movie, I would be happy.
Yeah, I think that was my big hang up when I was trying to learn JavaScript too. Like, I feel like a lot of what they're, well, still learning it, but when I was learning it, I feel like they spend a lot of time in the middle part of it, like what all the actual functions and variables do, but they don't give you enough of real world experience as to why and how that works. Like, they don't give you the inputs. So if you knew more inputs, we're like, okay, if I type in my name, I could make a function that'll add this extra text to my name. Or if I'm doing like a search, and then it'll output it here. But they don't give you the first and the last parts. They just spend so much time in the middle.
Yeah, but why? But why would you do that? It just seems like so much code just to have your console. Oh, your name pops up. Oh, yay! You know, it's just I guess that part I guess I don't get yet. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, also, yeah, that's also been my experience as well, where it's like they give you all these scenarios that, I mean, technically you could run into in the future, but since they're not really making these scenarios more practical to what I would need it for, so it just seems like I'm learning a bunch of this stuff for nothing. Like, okay, great, I learned how to make someone look in a list and find the word popcorn in a whole list of words. That's great. But I needed to be this specific use case so that I could know how to do it for this reason, not for every single scenario.
Yeah. So that's been my week. But other than that, we've been having great weather in California. So it's been nice and sunny and hot. So I've been digging that.
I've been inside sick all week.
Oh no, stay away. No, just joking.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I hope you feel better. Get some rest, orange juice, water.
I have a NyQuil on standby as soon as we finish.
There you go. Be proactive. Be proactive. Okay, so thank you for sharing your week and my week, and we are going to be heading into the news. What's out there on the web? So I have two articles. Well, actually, one is actually of a program, and it's a brand new wireframe program. It's called Whimsical, and it's pretty cool. You can definitely do your wireframing, definitely desktop, iPhone, Android, tablet, or you can make it custom. It does come with other pricing toll. So starter, it's for free, but you can only do 4 diagrams. $10 a month, you can create unlimited, and then $12 a month, you can do creative unlimited diagrams. So, oh, that's build yearly and build up monthly. Sorry. So anyways, I thought that's something else you guys can check out, and we'll have that the link in our notes. And then, Adam, we have another wireframing tool. What do you think about that?
I haven't researched it, but it'll just be interesting to figure out what's the feature killer that this has. What's the reason for you to fork over another $10 a month that you can't get from Sketch, or that you can't get from any of the other wireframe tools that we have out now? Like, what's the difference? I mean, they have XD for free, right? Which we talked about last week. So why spend $10 a month?
Yeah, I know. I just thought it was interesting because, like, oh, we have another one. I wonder how long this one's gonna last.
I know. I guess in a way, it's good for us, right? Any more products out there mean that there's more competition, so means more lower prices and competitive pricing, which we saw with XD when they released it for free. So great, yeah, bring them all out there. Let's all see which one wins. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, but on their websites they have, like, from Pablo Stanley, this is the one, whimsical.co. They're truly their name, Whimsical. And then Gordon from he's a design lead over at Shopify. My favorite design tool, whimsical.co. So maybe something that they know that we don't know about. So check it out. There is another article on Medium, and it is called Lesson Learned Building a Design System for 500,000 Users at Rate. And I thought this was really interesting because as you're working with a client or you're working in any design atmosphere, there is some kind of design system. And sometimes you are working with a existing design system or you're creating a new one. So actually this designer, Raphael, he is explaining his process and what they did at Rite. And then if you go through it, I don't want to spoil, anything because that's kind of like a spoiling of a movie, but I will cite one little nugget in here. He mentioned here, a handy definition of a design system is, a design system is a collection of reusable components guided by clear standards that can be assembled together to build any number of applications. And that has been defined by the Design System Handbook. And when I read that, I thought that was really interesting because some of the companies that I've worked in the past, some had a design system and some didn't. And it was very unique of to learn both ways, just kind of make design kind of not using a grid or actually using a grid. So I thought that was very interesting. So anyway, this will be in the notes as well. Yeah, so Adam, just wanted to get your opinion regarding design system, because for me, I think it's pretty important.
Yeah, I think since you work more in a solo product type of environment, I come from more of an agency background, and a lot of those were more just, let's get these products out as quickly as possible. And there's been very little times where we've revisited the product after we've deployed it. And so I know you deal with, like, working on the same product over and over and over again, making all these changes iteratively. And so I don't have that much experience working with a design system besides just our own design systems of using grids. And those are more of the actual, like, if you're not using grids, then you got a lot of other problems to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be of one product and you make it better and better, but still, having any kind of design system at any level would actually build out faster. Like if you're doing wireframes or like in Sketch, definitely have your own wireframes. Like, okay, this is this button. This is what the toggle should look like. So you're not creating them like again, if you have a freelance project and you have one file that has everything and you can boop, 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 and just put them everything together.
Yeah. And you're also not reinventing the wheel every single time. There's a lot of other pages or other parts of your design that don't need to be redesigned over and over again. Some parts are kind of standard using links. I mean, most standard is that it's underlined. So, I mean, there are certain standards that you should follow anyway.
Yeah, but sometimes, I do have some experience working, at an agency as well. And, of your right, each product, you just want to get it out the door as fast as you can. But, to make your sanity even better, if you have time, I would set it up, your files, to have that certain design system. It may not be the company standard, but maybe if you have it your way, the way you want to work, it will go faster and maybe less headaches too. So, Adam, so what do you have to share with us?
Yeah, I only have one article today, and it's from the Creative Block. They're talking about Instagram. And so Instagram, or however you want to say Instagram, Facebook, they came out with a new app. It's their IGTV app. And basically what it is, are you familiar with Instagram yourself? Yeah, so you do know that they came out with these stories, which are kind of just little video clips that you can just toggle through. And so what the IGTV is kind of an expansion off of that idea. So instead of having just a couple minute clips, you're able to have about like an hour long video.
Wow,
And
it's pretty
yeah.
long.
And so from the article, it says the new feature starts playing as soon as you open the app, just like when you turn on a TV, and you can watch videos from those you already follow on Instagram on their channel. You choose channels or videos from sections such as popular or for you. So I downloaded the app and I wanted to try it out myself. And so I think one of the features that they did mention is that so they're kind of touting this as being a direct competitor to YouTube. And but the main difference is that these are vertically orientated videos. Usually, if you watch a video on YouTube, you watch it landscape mode, right? These IGTVs are almost all exclusively vertical portrait mode. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. I did notice. So I did download it, and I was kind of trying it out. And some of the things that I noticed is that a lot of users are still kind of trying to figure out how it works. For the people who kind of already use these the stories feature on Instagram, they're pretty much just using it like that. They're just posting their stories onto this IGTV. I'm also seeing that people are posting their landscape versions of their videos, and you could watch them regularly, but you just have to turn your camera. You just have to turn your phone. They're not that many, but it works. And luckily, IGTV doesn't have that feature where your screen autocorrects or adjusts its orientation when you turn it. So you can easily flip your phone without a problem. I also noticed that some people are kind of, they're putting in the regular videos, but it's kind of like cropped. It's cropped to the vertical orientation. So you'll be watching videos and you'll be seeing just like a weird, it just looks like the videos are cropped off. You're missing half of the action because they've uploaded their video. So it's kind of interesting. It's like a lot of different weird scenarios that I keep seeing. But one thing I like is that, so I kind of like the UI. The UI is super simple. There's really not much going on at all. It doesn't really give you that much to do on the app. It mainly just you're just there to watch videos. And so I was kind of searching around, but I found myself just kind of flipping through videos like for a while. I was there maybe like a half an hour just watching videos.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's
I
surprisingly
mean, and for
addictive.
you to keep your attention with something.
Yeah, I mean, because I think what it is that I would kind of just like look at a video. I didn't have the audio on because I was with my family, but I would swipe, and then as soon as the video come on, I would just kind of glance at it, see what's going on, and then I could just swipe again and swipe and swipe and swipe. So I just found myself just constantly swiping and being slightly stimulated, and then swiping and being stimulated again. And so, I was kind of just there, just doing that forever. It's kind of just like a weird. It's like the weirdest version of channel surfing, you can think of. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but not only that, what you just described there, you have of a virtual book. You have a virtual story, without sound per se, because if you're reading a book, you turn the pages, right? There's pictures, and then we read, and then we turn the pages. But with your swipe, that's turning the videos or the pages. I mean, even though each movie or each video is a little different, but still, it still has of our same brain saying, this is our book. We're looking at something. We're reading something, and we just glance at it. If we were kind of like at a doctor's office or at a dentist's office, and there's a magazine, and we're just not really reading, looking at pictures, kind of browsing through. So that's what it kind of it reminded me of.
I mean, if you're a Instagram user, that's pretty much what Instagram is. It's just you scrolling through, looking at just a bunch of images all day, every day. Maybe you read the comments, but for me, I just kind of like, I'm just kind of swiping, looking at swipe or scrolling, looking at images. And so this is kind of pretty much that, but it's more instant gratification, more instant, just kind of things to look at. How it'll compete with YouTube, it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I mean, YouTube is just so robust. I don't know how it could be a direct competitor. You could just do so much on YouTube. You could even pause videos, shoot live video. You could, I mean, I guess you could also do live video on Instagram. It'll be interesting to see if it does pull some views away from YouTube. So yeah, but it is interesting. It's kind of weird. Maybe it's like a weird new frontier. I don't know. It's different.
Yeah. I mean, that's what most companies want to try something and see if people will follow. And like I said, technology is changing, software is changing, design, not design, code, what's code, not code. It's just UX, UI development, AR, machine learning, augmented reality. Mm-hmm. It's there. It's the endless can go on. That's the funny thing is I probably mentioned like one third what's actually out there. Technology can be like driving cars, which that's already doing right now, or, you know, pretty soon we're going to have of our own chef where we just need to clap and then our dinner would be ready. I don't know. I mean, there's just a lot going on.
It'll be interesting to see if like in the future, once everybody's on VR headsets, if like you use your left, if you blink with your left eye or you wink, in order to switch a video, you go wink, 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 wink. So everyone's going to have these weird tics.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I guess that's it. Unless you have anything else to add, Adam.
No, I was too busy dealing with my stuff to really research things this week.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. So, again, guys have any questions, you can get me on Twitter at FlaxenInc. And then our contacts will be at the bottom. And how about you, Adam? How can I get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Adan Cepeda. That's AdanZepeda.
All right. I think that's it. We're going to wrap it up until now. And you guys will hear from us from next week. So aloha.
See ya.